I'm not going to be here. I'll wear a shield if I have to, but I'm going to come. This is an exciting time for us, and as Keith said, for the whole church, very special time. Baptism goes back a long way in the history. It goes right back to the beginning of a church. You know, baptism was something right very at the very beginning. You remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? As soon as he was converted, he saw water and said, I should get baptized. And Philip said, yes, get baptized. But what does it mean? I just want to share three thoughts briefly. I say briefly, that's not a promise, but... and I'll use the overhead, if I can get that up, please, Seth. Thank you. This is a verse we shared in the Bible reading today from Romans 6. Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ... Now, Paul's talking to a church in Rome, and the background is some of them think that because of grace... we can just keep living a sinful life. We can just do whatever we like because God's grace will cover it. And so he now reminds them of their baptism and says, don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptized into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we would walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together like this in his death, we'll certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul makes this connection between the death and resurrection of Jesus and our lives, and he's writing this to the Romans. Don't forget, when you got baptized, you were connected with the death and resurrection of Jesus. So you can't just keep on living the life the way you used to. And this is a common theme for Paul. I just had to contain myself here because just about everything Paul writes has this. And I just want to share quickly a couple of other... The top one is one of my favourite verses. Paul talks about, I've left everything behind and consider everything rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ. And then he says, I want to know Christ. Just a powerful, beautiful statement. I just want to keep growing closer to him. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. The word there is koinonia. This is something we share in common. I want the fellowship of sharing in the suffering of Jesus. Whoa. Becoming like him in his death, and if so, somehow to attain to the resurrection of death. Almost more than any other passage, Paul personally says, this isn't just for you guys in Rome, this is me. I want to get to know Jesus better, and I know that means sharing his death and resurrection in my life. Briefly, I had that one there, Romans 8. If Christ is in you, Paul writes again to the Romans, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in us. I could go on to Colossians 2, Ephesians. Of course it's going to be in Ephesians because we've studied Ephesians chapter 2, 4 to 6, just before your memory verse passage, Tony, comes again. This Paul just keeps reminding us that, particularly in baptism, we connect. It's a symbol of our connection with Jesus and his death and resurrection. And I wonder, why does Paul make this strong connection? Why does it doesn't come as strong from the others? Why does Paul see this? And the reason I believe it's because of Paul's conversion. You know, Paul was a rabbi, really keen, rushing around, ripping Christians out of their homes, dragging them before magistrates, you know, getting them arrested. And then all of a sudden, on the way to Damascus, on the road, he gets struck down by this light, lightning like a light, and he hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me? And he's blinded then. You know the story. He was blind for a while before he gets taken somewhere and they pray for him. I'm thinking while he's blind and immobilized and taken away, can't see, he must be thinking, what were those words and what did they mean? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He knows it's the voice of God, but he's not persecuting God. He's persecuting Christians. And he's making this connection as he's reflecting on it, that when I'm persecuting Christians, I'm touching Christ, I'm persecuting Christ. And he realizes this strong connection we have with Jesus and his death and resurrection. I think it shapes so much of Paul's thinking. It's seen very clearly, you know, this is the last of Paul's that I'll mention, this passage here, where he writes to the Corinthians. Can you hear me? You can't hear me when I move away, can you? Better stay close. Okay. We have this treasure, he says, in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. We are hard-pressed on every side. And Paul experienced all this. Crushed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in us. It's a powerful statement to the church in Corinth. We are always carrying around the death of Christ so that the life of Christ may be lived in us. Baptism, I see, is in a sense, it's a ritual of burial, of death. Something dies. What dies? Our old life, our fallen nature. This is symbolized in going down underwater. Baptism is also a symbol, a celebration, an outward symbol of a new birth, new life, coming up out of the water. Baptism is a celebration of that resurrection, death and resurrection of Jesus, an outward symbol of something that takes place in our lives, in our hearts, our connection with the death and resurrection of Jesus. But we see in these passages that it isn't just for that one day. It's not just for this one day for you, Garen. It's an ongoing experience in our lives, and it's lived out constantly in our lives. This symbol of baptism is our story as a community. We are on the same journey. Watch this baptism today. Have a look at it. Celebrate it. But remember that we're still walking the same path today. God keeps working the death and resurrection of Jesus in our lives. Are we hard-pressed sometimes? I think we are. Perplexed, confused, definitely. Unjustly persecuted, that happens. Struck down, yes, sometimes with things like illness. God is still working death in our lives, sometimes taking things away, bringing hardship, trials, you know, anguish sometimes. He's preparing us for life and growing us, new life in us. Some time ago this year, Nola and I went to Phillip Island. And we went to, off Phillip Island, a little island called Churchill Island. People know about that little island where there's a working farm. And we went there and we watched a blacksmith at work. And he took a piece of metal about that wide and that long and said, I'm going to make a horseshoe out of this piece of metal. And he put some tongs and had a furnace going and really ramped it up. He had bellows, the old-fashioned bellows, and got the fire hot and put the metal into that fire and left it there for a while, and it came out glowing red. And then he put it on the end of the anvil, the round part, and began beating it and shaping it. And then looked at it, put it back in again, wait till it got red hot, and then beat it some more, over and over. And then when he'd finished that, put it in again and flattened it. It took a while, and this poor piece of metal got bashed and beaten and heated up. But out came, when it was finished, this beautiful horse. He put it in water when it was finished. And I thought of that when I was thinking about how do I illustrate the fact that God is constantly working the death and resurrection of Jesus in us. I kind of think that's a pretty good picture, because God sometimes puts us in the furnace, you know, brings us through hard times. We feel the mallet, you know, shaping us. But he's saying, I'm forming my son's life in you. I'm forming new life in you. And that often means shaping and change. Often means change comes into our lives. I kind of think while we celebrate with you, it's also our story, Garen. And why for the church it's important? Because the death and resurrection of Jesus shapes us and continues to shape our lives. So we celebrate with you, and we don't say it's going to be all easy from here. It's going to be a bed of roses. God will continue to work as he has already in your life, shaping you and changing you. It is connection and union with Christ and the cross. Second thing is it's connection with the body of Christ. Baptism is a celebration symbol of our connection with one another and the fact that we are the body of Christ. It's not just a personal me and God thing. It's a community thing, a community event, a community symbol. And this passage... Whoops, what happened? Too far. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, just as a body, though, one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jew, Greek, slave, or free, or Gentile, we're all given one Spirit to drink. Now, said Paul, you are the body of Christ. Each of you is a part of it. When you're baptized as a symbol of coming into family, coming into the body of Christ. And Paul, again, I think that going through that experience of Saul, why are you persecuting me? He sees that Jesus is the body of Christ. That is where I am. He's the head, we're the body. In this place, we are the body of Christ and we belong to Christ and we belong to one another. Your baptism, Garen, is a celebration, an outward symbol of coming into family, coming into community. I know you've really been at church for a long time, but in a sense, this is an outward symbol, and I say welcome to family, to our family here. Finally, I promise, now that means 5 minutes to go, okay, finally. It's a celebration. I've never seen this before. I try and looked at my old notes. I've often spoken on baptism, but over the years had lots of baptisms. This is a new thing for me to see. My eyes got open to something. And it really came partly because of one of the verses you guys asked for, and that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. This connection between baptism and love, the love of God. And when I kind of thought, where do I see that in Scripture? I thought about the baptism of Jesus. Jesus, you know, it was quiet. He was a carpenter. No, many people knew who he was. But there was a time when it was time for him to enter the public stage. And he began that by getting baptized. And you know that the dove of the Holy Spirit came upon him when John the Baptist baptized him. And then there was this voice. And this is what the voice said. And it was so clear, it was loud, that Matthew, Mark and Luke all recorded in exactly that same. So it was very clear, it was very loud. And this is what the voice said to Jesus. The voice of the Father, you are my Son, he said, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. How important, I believe. Jesus hasn't done anything yet, but he's beginning on a journey. How important to hear the words of the Father saying, you are my Son, you are my Son. And then he says, whom I love. You know there are at least five words for love in the New Testament. I'm not going to tell you all of them or give you a sermon on it. You've heard them before. Eros love, erotic love, philos, friendship love, etc. But there's one word for love which is for profound, deep love. What is it? Agape love. Which is the word here used, you reckon? Agape love. This is profound love. This is love that will not let you go. This is love that holds you through all circumstances and situations. This is God's profound and deep love for us. And this is what the Father says to the Son. I love you, my Son. And then finally it says, I am well pleased with you. You're coming here and being here, Jesus, and my Son, I am well pleased with you. Jesus says in John 5:30, I only seek to please the Father. And love, I believe, brought Jesus to that place. You know, this obedience that says, I want to just please you, Dad. I'm here because you want me here. And it's love that brought him there. And Jesus' baptism has pleased his Father. I believe that baptism is a public declaration of our love and commitment to God. And having spent time with you, Garen, over the last 4 weeks, Friday mornings talking, I know of your love for Jesus. And I know that that's what brought you here, that sense of I need to keep moving in my journey with God, and I love him. Garen, at your baptism today, God want to remind you that you are his son, and that profoundly and deeply he loves you, and that he is well pleased with you today and what you're doing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the ways we've recognised, and I forget who said it recently, but there are outward symbols that you give us as a church to remind us of profound and deep truths, and baptism is one of them. And we thank you that it very, very in a real way symbolises our connection to your death and resurrection. Something not only for Garen today, but something that you keep doing in our lives and working in our lives. At times it's painful, but I believe too that it draws us closer to you and shapes us to be the people you want us to be. Thank you, Father, that it's not only an individual thing, but it's community. It's us reminding ourselves that we are your body here in this town. And baptism symbols that coming into community. And we thank you too, Father, that it's a profound thing that shows love. I often talk to Garen about the idea of marriage. Marriage is this placing a sharing of vows because of love, and the baptism in the same way. It's just, declaring your allegiance to God, but it's profoundly shaped by love, by your love for us and our love for you. Father, we pray as Garen soon enters those waters that he would know again that you're pleased with him and that you love him and that he is your son. Thank you, Lord. What we're going to do now is I am going to interview Garen. He's going to share a little bit of his story with us. So you want to come up? We seem to be doing this a bit lately, interviewing people. It's great. I think last time it was Father's Day. No, it was a mission service. Where's his parents? It was great. Garen, just tell us a little bit about your background.
I'm 71 years of age. Together with my wife, Suzanne, we have lived in the Mount Evelyn area for the last 44 years. Upon leaving high school in 1967, I joined the Royal Australian Navy, where I served 7 years. During this time, I saw service in the Asia-Pacific area and the Vietnam conflict. Upon leaving the Navy in 1974, I joined the Victoria Police, where I served 19 years both in uniform and in the CIB. Upon retiring late in 92, we both conducted a small commercial cleaning business, retiring late in 2012. Together we have 2 children and 2 grandsons.
Can people hear us okay? I'm getting nods. Sorry? Yeah, so put it up close to your mouth. Okay. Yep. How did you first come to faith in Jesus, Garen? What were some of the important influences that led you to faith?
I've always believed in Jesus, that he died for our sins, but in my past I have not followed him faithfully. In recent years, I have come to realise I cannot continue to lead my life in this sinful way that I had. In 2014, I decided to change the way I lived, so I commenced coming regularly to church with my wife, Suzanne, who has been a wonderful example and source of encouragement, support and guidance for me.
I'm just going to go off script quickly. Just important 2 things there. The church family, we have such an influence on people and the way we live before people often draws people to God or away from God. So it's good to hear that this church has influenced you in that way. And, of course, Suzanne, your influence on your husband's life has been... I keep hearing that whenever I met with you guys. So, again, the way we live in our homes and our families before our children and spouses is so important. What are some of the important things you've learnt about Jesus in your journey of faith?
As I began to hear the word of God, I became more receptive to his word and a wish to come to know him more, to have Jesus in my life and guide me. I believe in Jesus, for he is Lord. I believe that he died for my sins and God raised him from the grave for my salvation. I believe he loves me as he does all, for he is my Saviour and Redeemer. As it says in John 3:5, unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Right. And where to from here, Gary? What does the future hold for you?
I wish to lead a more righteous and faithful life with Jesus, knowing that through my baptism in the Holy Spirit on the day of judgment, I will enter into God's presence. So baptism is only the beginning of that journey for me. As I go forward in my life, I want to come to know Jesus more intimately, be more like him, and to lead my life in a more meaningful and truthful way, having genuine love and compassion for others. I wish to lead my life the way Jesus wants me to. There is nothing in this world, or spiritually, now or in the future, that can cause me to be separated from God's love through the love of Jesus and that he has for me because of all that he has sacrificed for us. It means that whatever I face in my life, both joy and adversity, that I know Jesus will always be with me to help guide me and to give me strength.
Big amen to that, hey? Yeah, that's really good, thank you. I didn't write this, he wrote this. Any last words, Garen, before you enter the water of baptism?
I am pleased to be baptised by full immersion today. I feel it is a culmination of the changes in my life that I have made since I've come to know Jesus, where I have cast out my old ways. I feel it will bring me closer to him, or it will give me strength and encouragement to continue to lead my new life with Jesus. Through the grace of God, I give thanks for this, my day of baptism.
Amen. Thank you. Well, we're about to get changed, so sing the next song slowly. But we're going to be, and then the one after that even slower when we get dried off. But I'm going to ask the music group to lead us.
On behalf of the church here, we would like to present a Bible to Garen to mark this occasion. Now, I know Garen's got a Bible, but we're going to give him another Bible. And in the front of this Bible, he'll have something there just to remind him, and he will look back on it in years to come and say, well, this is the Bible that I got when I was baptised and declared my faith in the Lilydale Baptist Church. So, Garen, we want you to accept that. And God bless. And I've asked Gordon if he would like to come out. And we're going to pray for Garen and his life ahead. So I'm going to hand the mic to
yesterday, he was filled with anticipation, excitement and nervousness. But it was great, wasn't it? It was really good. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've had the opportunity to share this wonderful day with Garen. We thank you for the strength of his confession. We thank you for the contribution that he continues to make in the life of this church. And we bless him in Jesus' name. We bless him on behalf of everyone who is here and pray that the future will hold great things for him as he continues to worship and honour you in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's pray once more. Our Father, we do rejoice with Garen. We thank you that you have led him to this stage and point in his life, his growth and development. as a follower of the Lord Jesus. And this testimony can speak out to so many others, and a reminder to us all that there was a day when we were baptized and when we died in burial, and the old self was done away with, and the new life became part of us, the life of your Spirit living within. And we just pray that this witness will bear fruit, and that you will continue to bless Garen and help him in his life from day to day and his service here in this church, that you will use him. You will use him, Father, in great ways. Bless him, and bless Susan too. We thank you for her and the both of them as they love you and as they seek to serve you. May it be many years of fruitful ministry, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Daryl, I believe, is going to come forward now and lead us into our communion service.
It's wonderful when we observe a baptismal service and communion all in the same service. Why, you ask? Because baptism is the initial profession of faith that we take when we accept Christ as Saviour and Lord. And the Lord's Supper, which we sometimes call communion, is an ongoing, continual and repeated renewal of our faith. It doesn't make sense for someone to participate in a renewal of faith if they have never professed faith in baptism in the first place. Let's never forget that both baptism and the Lord's Supper are given to us by the Lord to make the gospel visible to the church and to the community. Pastor Peter has reminded us this morning that baptism points to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a dramatic reenactment of the humiliation and exaltation of our Lord that signifies our union with him through faith. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 again. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Therefore, the meaning of baptism is a one-time event that signifies identification with Christ, initiation into the Christian faith, and entrance into the Christian church. Lots of passages point this way, and I won't list them all now. But think, for example, about the Great Commission, where we are commanded to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. While the meaning of communion, or the Lord's Supper, on the other hand, is an ongoing, repeatable event. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. And this signifies fellowship with Christ, continuance in the Christian faith, and unity with the Christian church. And this is especially clear in 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 16 and 17, where Paul says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." This shows us that communion involves both a special fellowship, participation with Jesus, and it symbolizes our unity with the one body of Christ. We who are many are one body. Let us give God thanks for Christ and for our own salvation. But let us also give him thanks for one another and pray for one another. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we bow before you in humility, we ask you to examine our hearts today. Show us anything that's not pleasing to you. Reveal any secret pride, any unconfessed sin, any rebellion or unforgiveness that may be hindering our relationship with you. As we take the bread representing your life that was given for us, help us remember and celebrate your faithfulness to us and to all who will receive you. We can't begin to fathom the agonizing suffering of your crucifixion. Yet you took that pain for us. You died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your extravagant love and unmerited favor. Thank you that your death gave us life, abundant life now and eternal life forever. And in the same way, as we take this cup representing your blood poured out from a splintered cross, we realize you were the supreme sacrifice for all our sin, past, present, and future. And because of your blood shed for us, your body given for us, we can be free from the power and penalty of sin. Thank you for your victory over death. You took the death that we deserve. You took our punishment. Your pain was indeed our gain. And today we remember and celebrate the precious gift of life you gave us through the blood that you spilled. Thank you, Father, for sending us Jesus. Amen. Our custom of late has been that we come forward and collect the elements and take them back to our seats. And I'm going to suggest this morning that we might come into the centre and come forward, collect our elements, and then go back to our seats, so that way we'll have a little less congestion in the middle. And when we get back to our seats, you spend the first moments in quiet prayer as you contemplate taking the bread. And then, if you hold the cup, we'll then all drink that together. I invite you to come forward. Said to his disciples, "All of you, drink it, and let's be thankful." Hymn is "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."